Having been the actual in-house chief compliance officer to five fintechs, my job was to build the compliance program. Some of the companies who come to me, they might say, we had someone, we don't know, when are we compliant? What we do is take it, assess it, and say, okay, this month, we're going after this set of controls. We're going to make sure the rest, we're not going to break the law. You should be getting from your compliance professionals like a roadmap that says, here's everything we need to do, and here's the plan to get it done.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Renard. You can find me on social at itzachb. In each episode, I bring on experts from various industries for you to learn about these strategies and insights driving extreme business growth. The Entrepreneur's Logbook Podcast is sponsored by WeFuturePR, where we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build their thought leadership and businesses by booking them on podcasts and launching their own podcasts. Today, we're joined by Jamie Uppenberg, co-founder of Runaway Consulting, a specialized consulting firm that helps fintech startups navigate the complex regulatory landscape and build scalable compliance programs. Jamie is a financial services executive with deep payment experience and fintech leadership expertise, who successfully guided companies through critical compliance challenges. As a former chief compliance officer at companies like ExtraCard and Guided, she's built a comprehensive compliance environment from the ground up, managed multi-state licensing requirement, and helped various startups secure crucial brand banking partnership. And around her group, she continues to help fintech founders transform their organization to a risk-based compliance control environment while maintaining the agility needed to compete and grow in the space. Jamie, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome aboard.
Thanks. Yeah, good to be here.
Cool. So every show that like podcasts that we record, what I always like to ask like any guest that comes on the show is, if you had to like restart a company, build a company from scratch, knowing everything that you know today, what's the one thing that you would change or implement from day one that a lot of entrepreneurs go wrong about?
What I primarily see through the fintechs, I mean, fintech startups is primarily what I see, other than Runaway itself being a startup now, which I guess I could speak on as well. In general, when I come in, they've done one of two things. They have either put all their money and time and effort into making a product perfect and have really neglected the marketing side of the business. They really thought if they built it, they will come. And then the other side of that is that they really put all of their time, effort, and energy and money into the marketing side and business development of the business and neglect the product. They really don't have a product to back up what they've sold. What I see most often is that it is a staunch balance, of attempting to build a product to an MVP level that you can begin to test and not overbuild, into something that you think is perfection. And ultimately you may find out that the market doesn't need or want half of what you have. It is that MVP build and then getting that marketing side moving with it. I would say on the Runaway side, now that I am in, like I am the co-founder, not just the CCO of the fintech, of the startup, we are in the same boat. I see the same thing, is that we are balancing our growth and our products. Like, what do we offer? What do we do? The same side of like, okay, how much time and effort do we put into business development? You know, how much should I be in business development, out here doing, you know, activities like these versus helping our clients and making sure that my product is what I want it to be and what I envision it to be. That is always the balance to be struck.
Yeah, because that's interesting. And I love like what you mentioned in the beginning, because I feel like so many like newer founders, companies, they get stuck. Like when they're launching like their first company, they get stuck in trying to make the perfect website, the perfect logo and everything like that. When they don't even have a customer in the first place, they have not even found market fit in the first place. They're trying to do all these little things that have absolutely like no ROI, and they're not actually like moving the needle. So I feel like when you're beginning starting a company, that's like a phase that a lot of like entrepreneurs get stuck in. But once you get into like a phase like your company, like what you guys are doing, it's more about finding that balance, as you were mentioning, to seeing like, okay, we should focus on the needle moving efforts, but we can't just disregard client fulfillment, because obviously that's what keeps the lights on and keeps your clients happy here. So a big balance here. And like
a very big balance. The other piece I'll mention is I've seen a lot lately, and I think it's because fintech did the investment dollars They didn't dry up, but they definitely became less 2 or 3 years ago. Like, there was a lot of movement and it was hard to find funding. And so a lot of fintechs have folded in the past 2 to 3 years. If there's any advice for after you're started, I mean, your question was from scratch, but you have to keep your expenses in line even when you expect growth. We're seeing a lot of getting investment dollars and having those advisors advise you to just spend, you know, grow a team of 175 when you were 20 people. And unfortunately, the growth in the product and the revenue side doesn't accompany it. So don't get pushed into growth you don't have. If you need 50 employees, like, because you have revenue to match it, you'll be able to get them. Don't go out and run and get them if you don't need them yet. So I see a lot of this run to growth that isn't there. And it's same thing on the runway side. We have to make sure that we spend wisely and don't run to growth we don't have yet.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what every company needs to do, finding like that balance again. And
they don't.
exactly. But they have to find it. And I'd love to touch on, because I know we're talking about like a runway here, but I'd love to like understand more about the work that you guys do with like fintech startups. And when a founder, like company owner or something like that comes to you with a new like idea, like what is the like actual process to like really help them understand and navigate like the regulatory landscape that they're entering? Because you guys obviously work with companies that are in like really highly regulated like industries as well.
Yep, we do. And I would say the big difference for Runway Consulting is that the co-founders come from fintech. So a lot of other consultant companies, you'll see them be ex-lawyers or ex-regulators, and they've never actually been inside a fintech. They don't know how they function. And that has, quite frankly, really large limitations for how to make recommendations to the company. So having been the actual in-house chief compliance officer to 5 fintechs, my job was to build the compliance program. And then once it's functioning and running and doing well, handing the keys over and saying, okay, now here's the keys to your CMP. Your compliant management program. I built a methodology for doing exactly that in a repeated manner as a fractional CCO. So I and my team, when a company comes to us and they're saying, you know, we have this product, it doesn't work like all the others in the industry, or maybe it does, you've seen this before, whichever the answer is, but we need to get compliant and we don't really have anybody on staff who has been at a bank. Or my lawyer has been my CCO, but they can't handle the workload, which is in general the case. And by the way, a lot of lawyers have never operationally run a compliance office. So we don't recommend it because it's not their skill set. Like, they've literally never done it. So basically, we have a tried and true method for assessing the total company control areas and prioritizing them. So the big piece that most fintechs miss, and they'll hire someone who comes in and they say they can act as their head of compliance or whatever it may be, and all they see is non-compliant activity everywhere. So it's like all they hear is the company, all they hear is about how they're non-compliant all over. They may be, but what we do is take it, assess it, and say, okay, this month we're going after this set of controls. And we're going to make sure the rest, we're not going to break the law. Like, we're going to make sure everything is in a decent shape, enough shape that we're not like damaging customers or breaking the law. If we can get control to there, then this month we handle this. Next month we do that. And it's a very methodical and efficient manner. And it tends to be easily understood by the personnel, which is what you want. So regulators are, and banks, the banks who are often in between the regulator and fintechs, they want not just documents that say this company does the right thing. They want them to actually do the right thing. And this is where the industry is turning, is that we don't just take policies and say, yep, they checked all the boxes. They're coming and asking. Both the regulators and the banks are coming and saying, I need more. I need you to prove to me you did this thing in your document. And that's what we do. We make sure that you're actually doing the activities so that the documents are less scary and have less meaning, because we know we're doing all of the right things. And we do it, you know, in a way that teams can absorb at a pace that they can actually be compliant and not sink the company. Because for a fintech, if we are completely compliant tomorrow, we probably Maybe. Have no revenue. So
Yeah.
we need to pace it so we can make revenue and be compliant, like in parallel.
But I like the approach that you mentioned, because you're not, in a way, you're not trying to like overwhelm the client saying like, hey, these are all the every single area that you're not compliant with. You're like somewhat giving your runway, like somewhat like
right.
showing them exactly like, hey, these are the steps you're going to take to make sure that you're in compliance, everything is aligned, and we're good to like move forward. And I feel like a lot of people you work, like companies that you might work with, they might not show you that timeline, set expectations, and then you're like somewhat just like overwhelmed with like everything like all at once. And I think that's
yes,
an important thing
it's
to say.
It's very common. Yeah,
And
it's a common experience. And some of the companies who come to me, they might say we had someone, but like they're like, we don't know where's Waldo. Like when are we compliant? Like
yeah.
We don't know what we're doing or when. They just came to us every day and said, we need to do this and we need to do that. You should be getting from your compliance professionals like a roadmap that says,
yeah.
like, here's everything we need to do, and here's the plan to get it done. Because I can tell you, startups, there's a lot of stuff non-compliant.
Oh, yeah.
We can't get it done in a month. That's not going to be what's going to happen. But the good news is they're probably not running $150 million a month. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
not yet.
Yeah, not yet. So we have a little bit of time.
Okay. And I guess, like, because I know we were talking about, like, the compliance program, that you obviously have a lot of experience, like, setting those up. And what I guess I'd be curious to hear is, when you work with a company, like, how does that process look like from taking a compliance program from, like, zero, having literally, like, nothing, probably non-compliance all over the place, to having something that's, like, really, like, fully operational? And I imagine, seeing that you're working, like, the fintech space, there's always going to be, like, new changes, new updates that you have to make sure that you're fitting those, like, guidelines. So I imagine you probably have to have some sort of complex system that can always like tweak and adjust to have a good like compliance program.
You might think it's a complex system. For those of us who work CMPs every day, it's pretty straightforward. Like it's very
That's
standard.
Fair.
It is simpler than a bank's CMP, but it has the same control areas. So most fintechs are managed by their bank. And so we have to align to the same control areas as the bank, because when the regulators come to the banks, they're going to ask for the same control areas that they control the bank with. So the fintech, it's a trickle down right through the bank. If you're not going through your bank and you're actually directly licensed, usually through state licensing, whether it's a loan broker licensing, or money transmitter licensing, then it's the same thing. It's going to be the same categories the states regulate as they regulate banks. So we know the control categories. What we want to do when we start with a new company, if we're doing the full CMP and not just one control area, we're going to assess the product itself. We're going to get the legal opinions about the laws and regulations that that product falls under, and are most pertinent to it, like what are the riskiest areas. And then based on that risk assessment, along with what the company's doing, if they have high risk marketing or low risk marketing, are they taking on a lot of high risk vendors, low risk vendors? So we do this whole mini risk assessment for where is their product in the legal and regulatory environment, and where do they run within the environment as far as risk goes? And then we prioritize the controls. So the overwhelming majority will begin with financial crimes. In general, we are helping companies that move money like a bank. And if you move money like a bank, you need to be compliant in AML, money laundering, countering the financing of terrorism. That's going to be number one most of the time. So that's usually where we begin. And then after that, it could go into different areas. So we may choose to prioritize data next, because maybe a SOC 2 type 2 is required and we only have a certain number of months to get there. We do a lot of SOC 2 type 2 work in helping companies complete those. We're not a security company. We actually just help them get the work done.
Get it, yeah.
And explain what the controls are saying to them. and then it might be SOC 2, it might be data work. It might be marketing. Some companies do really high risk marketing, so we need to get the marketing under control. We will get to all controls in general within 8 to 12 months. So we'll complete a whole CMP. Parts of it will be completed throughout, like we're going to hit everything in 4 months. Like everything will get a drip, but we're going to kind of tie the bow all the way through in about 8 to 12. It's just which ones we do first are based on the risk of the company. These are pretty big differentiations for how others build their programs. Yeah. They often have a great deal of focus on the documentation. We certainly do documentation and there is focus on documentation, but our focus is more on, can you do what this document says? So we're not like scouring laws and trying to find obscure controls. We're actually saying there's a base level for most companies. You have a product that gives you two more controls. And then we go and say, can you do these? Because the most important thing is, can you do what the document says? That is really how Runway differentiates, is that we have a very high level of focus on compliance operations. It's not that we disregard documents at all. We just don't, we don't spend your dime there. Like you take a more efficient approach. Yeah. Can you do it? Because I'll be honest, if someone finds something missing from your document, but you're doing the activity, you're pretty safe. Fine. Like you had a couple of lines, you know, no big deal. Yeah. If they find something in your document that you said you do,
that you can't,
and you haven't done it ever, that's when trouble starts. So we look at it from the first perspective. Let's make sure we do it right.
Okay. And I guess just for like any like company founders that they're looking to like implement like a compliance program, maybe they have like an outside like counsel, lawyer that thinks they can do it. Is there anything specific that they should be looking for when implementing it? Is there any specific mistakes that you see a lot of companies do when they go about trying to like do it themselves that like you really see like often or?
Yes. The biggest one is that they hire folks who say they can do this, and oftentimes they'll have a pretty decent title. They will have come from a bank, maybe even from a previous fintech. The question that you want to ask is, do they have experience building a compliance program with a Google Suite and a dream? Like, you do not get more staff. You do not get to go buy a $150,000, you know, software program. Do you have experience? How would you do this if all you have is Google and the need? That is when people really, it's rubber to the road. Like, what will you do first? Then after that, do they have any experience in building from nothing? And the second piece then is, how will they communicate to you the priorities and progress of the program? So I find this one, even in companies where I'm there, I have a report, like I have the information and they like, don't want to look at it. You have to look at it. It's a very simple report. You need to learn just like this much, but you should be getting an objective report, not this anecdotal verbal, here's where we are. It's like, no, here's objectively what we have done. This is a known process. If they can't communicate that to you in a report showing all your company controls, they maybe don't know how to do this. Obviously, we recommend finding someone who's a builder, like Runway is, who can get the foundation. It makes hiring your full-time CCO or head of compliance much easier.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because you'll be educated, you'll know the reports you're using. And so when you go to hire, you can actually hire a little lower level, save a little bit of money, and they'll move into a structure that's functioning for them. And then they can just grow and they don't have to go through the headache. It is a headache to build a program. It is hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it comes from like years of experience, but also like different like expertise all put into one to be able to have that like under one roof in a way here. I love that. And I guess like one thing I'd be curious here, and I always like to ask every guest that comes on the show, because you guys are obviously in a, I would say like niche space in a way, but you guys like specialize in like helping those companies that are like very like regulated space. When it comes to just like differentiating yourself, marketing yourself, just like putting yourself out there, I obviously know that you guys are builders. That's like a big differentiator that you guys have. But is there anything else that comes to mind that you were to say like, hey, this is what we do. This is how it's different.
Yeah, let me talk to you about the rest of Runway. So I've been talking to you primarily about the compliance arm of Runway Consulting. Runway is, there's Runway Global, which houses Runway LLP, and also Runway Consulting. They're not parent, it's not a parent model, but we're all together, let's just say. So what that means is we have lawyers coming from Runway LLP who specialize in fintech. They have years of experience in just helping fintechs. And they tend to do it at a better rate than the really big firms that have these fintech arms. So you're getting like almost more in-depth expertise at a better price. Because this is what we do, and we've built models for small to medium fintechs. We know where you are. We like to meet you where you are. Now, here's the beauty of this. You don't have to do this, but several companies do, and it's really valuable. We can talk to each other. So you've got your lawyers who are expert outside counsel who can talk to me, your consulting arm, who's building your compliance system. And so what often happens is if the consultants and the lawyers are separate, you are the fintech founder, you have to coordinate the advice coming in from these two, and they don't always align. So you might have someone who's a document, who's very document focused. You might have someone who's operations focused, and then you've got the lawyer who's like letter of the law. How do you bring those together? At Runway, we bring them together. We sit together. We have the arguments. We talk it through. We talk about the risks of the business as we talk through, like, should they do this or should they do that? Which leads me to also, Runway Consulting has a strategy arm, also led by Kay Brinkley is the head of that arm. And she has been with PayPal and Stripe. Like, she's a heavy hitter in the, has been a heavy hitter in the fintech space. And it's the same type of thing you were talking about when someone comes and they have an idea or they need to do a U.S. market entry. That's when Kay can really come in and help and go through, you know, you could position your product this way and be under these laws and regs in this way, or you could go left and do it in this other way. Like, there's a lot of options at the beginning.
Yeah.
So the strategy arm works with the legal arm as well. And that's when what we see is that you get the best advice because you have some of the best experts in the industry kind of arguing with each other about best positioning, you know, risk, risk positions and how to address, honestly, regulatory defenses.
Yeah. So you have them like all in their like one roof, all able to communicate like really effectively. And everyone has a different set of like expertise. Whereas if you work with someone that only has perhaps a compliance expertise, like strictly that and nothing operational or anything like that strategy, then you're getting value out of it, but you're not probably getting the best bang for your buck in a way. And that's where
it's
want to find the best partner.
You have to synthesize it, right? And in this way, like we synthesize it together as the group. We have a lot of conversations like this about like, oh, they're having, this company's having X challenge. Well, what if we do this for them? And then somebody's like, well, you know, operationally, that's going to mean this kind of impact in a year. And they're like, is that better than this other way? I actually wanted this model. I tried to get some other lawyers to do it with me. They're at a larger firm and they couldn't do it. Peter Luce is the lawyer who wanted to do it. And we hadn't even worked together, you know, as much as some other lawyers, but this is the model that fintech should be working in, where you really have experts kind of, you know,
synergically working together.
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely synergetically working together, but we're also just taking the best ideas and scouring them for you.
But also seeing that you guys have like this bird's eye view, work with like multiple startups, you're able to perhaps see like commonalities and be able to like apply it to like different companies you work with too. But I imagine it's probably it varies.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of that because I've done quite a few. And so sometimes I don't even need the legal review of some products because I'm like, yeah, this is my fourth time with the product guys. Like, I got it.
Yeah.
We're good. I know these laws. So yeah, you can get a lot from that. But that should, any consulting firm, you should have some of that for you. But I think operations wise, we probably have more Like, I know more about what happens when you operationalize the activities, and what's working and what's working efficiently for the companies.
Perfect. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for coming on the show. And for like anyone that wants to get in touch with you, I mean, imagine probably LinkedIn, websites, or any place people should look out, or?
I'm clearly on LinkedIn, Jamie Uffenberg, Runway Group. That one's pretty easy. So, and it's Jamie, RNWY.group.
Perfect.
So we're not hard to find.
We'll put that in the description show notes for anyone that wants to join here and listen to that. But yeah, to your listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, reach out to Jamie. You can also find more insights at wefuture.com, where we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build their thought leadership and business by booking them on podcast and launching their own podcast. Until then, keep pushing, and we will see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Perfect.